So the question remains, do child actors lose their youth? Are they exposed too soon to the often cutthroat and unforgiving world of entertainment? Is there a price to be paid later when an overly protected and idealized childhood is insufficient training for the real challenges of life that inevitably lurk around the corner? After years of thinking about this, I've come to believe there's no one simple answer. What works for some doesn't work for others. That's not a cop-out. It simply reflects the fact that people are different. I played a television dad in Eight Is Enough, but playing a character in a show doesn't magically turn you into that character. Actors pretend to be policemen, doctors, and scientists, but that hardly gives them the courage of a cop, the judgment of a doctor, or the brilliance of a scientist. Oddly, I've known actors who confuse their real and fictional personal. Nothing is more absurd. Like everything else, what I've learned about being a father has come from my own life, my own family, and from the challenge of raising my own children. Still, like any father, there were things that I could bring to the role of a TV dad that might have contributed some authenticity to the show. Also, it's inevitable that during a long-running show, relationships develop among the various characters, both on and off camera. Those relationships are as varied as they are in real life. There are the good things, admiration, pride, caring, and compassion. There are also the bad things, the worst of which is jealousy. Through the years, I've tried to keep in touch with the cast of both Eight Is Enough and I Remember Mama. I've always considered them like second families, and like any family, there have been successes and disappointments, even tragedies. There is a great deal of pressure on performers, especially young performers, when they come off a successful show. I felt it myself, and I've seen many others confronted by it. Over the past 80 years, I've been fortunate to see firsthand the many great changes in American entertainment. Most remarkable was the advent of television, and I've never lost my astonishment at its awesome power. I participated in the transition from radio to television in the late 1940s, and the power of the new medium was immediately recognizable. Recently, I was struck again by the magnitude of television's place in American culture in a very personal way. In the recent presidential election, Americans were fortunate to have two exceptional candidates in terms of their personal integrity. The nomination and election of the first African American as President of the United States certainly reflects a tremendous advance from the days of my own youth when segregation and racial bias were still ugly stains. Regardless of one's political views, all Americans should be proud of this extraordinary moment in our history. Most astonishing to me, however, was that at the key moment of the campaign, Eight Is Enough actually enjoyed a brief resurgence on the world stage. On the night of President Obama's historic acceptance speech at Denver's Invesco Field, I was watching at home with my family. About midway through, I nearly fell off my chair as the Democratic nominee made a clear reference to Eight Is Enough. We love this country too much to let the next 4 years look just like the last eight, Obama told the massive throng of supporters. On November 4th, we must stand up and say, Eight is enough. The next day, in an article titled Somewhere, Dick Van Patten is Smiling, television writer Michael Malone noted, even Dick Van Patten's wise Bradford patriarch character couldn't have predicted what would happen next. He was right. No sooner than Obama said, some 80,000 people began chanting in unison, Eight is enough, eight is enough, as literally tens, if not hundreds of millions of viewers watched the worldwide. I sat there, not only smiling, but absolutely astonished.